Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Tzadi Beis. We are holding on daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Hahu Gavra de Zavna Luxubasa de Ime. And that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And Le'ili Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, and also by Mr. Yehuda Jacobowitz in memory of his father, Shmuel Ben Chaim Moshe, Zichron Levracha, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first of all, when you sell a Sada without Achrayus, is there Achrayus vis-a-vis the Mocher? Meaning, if somehow you have such a funny case where a guy sells a field, Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and he says, but I'm taking no Achrayus. If it gets taken away from you, then I don't have to pay you back. And then, we'll have some funny cases where Reuven is the one himself who comes and takes it away from Shimon. So does he have a chayus for that, to have to reimburse Shimon, because he himself is the one that took it away? So we're going to have a few cases about that and discussion about those cases. Then the Gemara is going to discuss about collecting karka from a secondary lokeach, a klisheni lokeach, meaning Reuven sold all of his fields to Shimon. Shimon then sold one of those fields to Levi, but held on to most of those fields. So can a Balchov of Reuven take that field from Levi? Or can Levi say, no, go back to Shimon. He was the first lokeach. The first lokeach is the person that you should go to. So under which circumstances can he send him back to Shimon? And under which circumstances can the fellow take from Levi? Can the Balchov of Reuven take from Levi? And that discussion will bring us pretty much all the way to the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. A very short daf today, which is, the opposite of a daf yomi coincidence. After all these days of shortened daf yomi shurim, we're finally back to full time, and we have a very short daf for the next few days, a pretty short dafim. But okay, so let's get to it. So again, we are holding at Hahu Gavra on daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis, 9 lines from the end of the page. So the Gemara brings another Maisa. We kept on quoting Maisas in yesterday's daf, where you have a machlokas between Rami Bar Chama and Rava. So who gavra dezavna luksubasa diime betavas hana'a? A guy sold, not the actual ksuba, he sold karka that his father had designated, that his father was miyached to pay off the mother's ksuba. And he sold it betovas hana'a. He sold it for a very cheap price because the case was that the father had already died. The mother had not yet made a claim on her ksuba, so she did not yet come to collect this karka. So it was a very high risk purchase, meaning because at any moment, the mother could just come and say, I want to collect my ksuba, and that karka was miyuchad, it was designated to pay the ksuba. So it was a very high risk purchase. You probably paid pennies on the dollar for the karka. The mocher says to the lokeach, look, Iasya aim, if my mother wants to come, Uma Arira, and she wants to be mevatel the mechira and say that I have no right to sell it because this is miyuchad for a ksuba, lomafsinalach, it's not my problem. I'm not taking any achrayas on this karka. I'm not returning any of your money. So you should realize, and that's why you're getting such a cheap price, right? That's why you're only paying pennies on the dollar. And then what happened was, Shchiva Ime, his mother died, velo irira, before she ever had an opportunity to make a claim and to ask for the karka as payment for a ksuba. So what happens? Vasa ihu v'kama arer. The mocher, the son of the woman who died and of the man who died, the son himself comes and he's ma'arer, because now he yarshins his mother, so he's entitled to collect his mother's ksuba. So he comes to the lokeach and he says, now give me the karka that was designated for the ksuba payment, because I am owed the ksuba payment. And when I take that karka, by the way, I'm not going to give you your money back, because when I sold you that karka, I said that if my mother comes and takes that karka from you, I'm not giving the money back. So happens to me, my mother's not alive anymore. I'm coming in place of my mother. So just like if my mother would have come and taken the karka from you, you wouldn't get your money back. When I'm coming and taking the karka from you, you're not getting your money back. So Savar Rami Bar Chama Lameimer, Rami Bar Chama assumed Ihu B'makom Imei Kai, that he's standing in place of his mother. Just like if the mother would have collected from the lokeach, she would be able to take from the lokeach, and you wouldn't be able to go back to the mocher because he wasn't mekabel achrayus. So hu adin that the mocher himself is standing and is taking the place of his mother. He has the ability to take the karka that he sold to the lokeach, and the lokeach can't can't come back to him and ask for his money back. Samalei Rava, Rava says to Rami Bar Chama, no, nihida achrayus, didalo kabalalei. Granted, he was not mekabel achrayus for his mother confiscating the karka, but achrayus didei milo kabel. Did he not at least accept achrayus for himself, that if he's the one that is toreif, it's mistaver to say that he's at least chayiv to reimburse if he himself is the one to be ma'arer on the mechira that he sold to the lokeach. The Ritva explains the machlokes that over here we're talking where he sold the karka. That he sold the karka with achrayus gemura, except for the achrayus of the irur of the mother. Meaning, he did sell the karka with achrayus. He just said that if my mother takes it from you, that I'm not responsible for, because that was the real risk over here. He wasn't worried about other balei chov. He was really worried about the mother, because it was miyuchad to pay back the mother. So Rabbi Bar Chama says, yeah, but excluded from the achrayus is achrayus of the mother. And he is b'makom, his mother. And Rava says, no, he's not his mother. He's like everybody else in the world, every other Balchov. And every other Balchov, there was achrayus. So since he sold it with achrayus, he's like any other Balchov, where he's now going to have to reimburse, because there was achrayus. In the Rabbeinu Kreskes and the Ran, they say that since achrayus is tol sofer, it's ki'ilu he sold it with achrayus to everybody, with achrayus of everybody else, chutz me'imo. Meaning, what if he says, I'm selling you this karka, and he doesn't say a word about achrayus, other than to say, if my mother takes it from you, it's not my problem. I'm not going to reimburse you. So what do we assume if anybody else takes it from him, not the mother? So that's what the Ran and the Rabbeinu Kreskes point out, that it's an automatic, it's achrayus tol sofer. We assume that there is achrayus. He only excludes the mother from the achrayus. So the nekudas hamachlokas between Rami Bar Chama and Rava is, do we view the son as an extension of the mother and therefore there's no achrayus, or do we view the son as anybody else in the world and therefore there is achrayus? So the Gemara says other dinim that Rami Bar Chama was mechadesh with regard to selling karka shaloba achrayus, and then somehow the achrayus coming back to the mocher himself, right? Somehow the issue coming back to the mocher himself. Do we assume that there's achrayus in such a case? So Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama gives us another case. Ruvain shemachar sadeh l'Shimon. Ruvain sells a field to Shimon, and he makes a tanai in the mechira that it's shaloba achrayus. Normally, unless you say it's shaloba achrayus, we assume that there is achrayus, which means that if the field ever gets taken away from Shimon, Reuven's going to have to reimburse him. But over here he said, Shalom b'achrayus, I'm not going to reimburse you if it gets taken away from you. So if the Baal Chov comes to be Torif the Karka from Shimon for the Chov, for some Chov that Reuven owes this guy, so he's not going to return any of the money to Shimon. And then, va'asa Shimon, in the end, Shimon came, and that Karka that he bought from Reuven, umachara l'Reuven, and he sold it right back to Reuven. And Shimon, in this case, was b'achrayus. He was mekabel achrayus. So Reuven had karka, he sold it to Shimon without achrayus. Shimon then turned around, sold it back to Reuven, presumably years later, probably this didn't happen in a day, right? He sold it back to Reuven, but he was mekabel achrayus, and he says to Reuven, if anyone bothers you about this field, anyone takes it away from you, don't worry, I will reimburse you. The Ritva writes that he's talking about, even if he doesn't say that he's mekabel achrayus, because again, achrayus taro sofer. So when Shimon is selling it back to Reuven, there's not like an automatic assumption that he's selling it under the same conditions that Reuven sold it to him. No, if you don't say anything, you're selling it with achrayus. So Reuven sells it to Shimon, and he explicitly says, no achrayus. Shimon sells it back to Reuven, and there's an assumption that it's with achrayus. He doesn't even have to say it explicitly. It's an assumption that it's with achrayus. So va'asa balchov du Reuven, and then one of Reuven's balechov comes. The Reuven owed money to someone, and he comes and he takes the field, the katar flaminei. Who does he take it from? Whoever has it right now. Who has it right now? Reuven has it right now. So Reuven's Balchov comes and takes the field from Reuven. So what does Reuven do with Tzatzkla? He goes to Shimon and he says, you sold me this field with Achrayus, and now a Balchov came and took the field. And Shimon's saying, but it's your Balchov. You're the one that owed the money to this guy. So I'm going to pay you back for a guy that you owed money to by taking this karka. So that was so that's Rabbi Bar Chama's mechadesh, is that dinahu da azil Shimon mafzile, that Shimon has to give Reuven back the money because he sold this field with achrayus, and therefore he's going to have to reimburse him. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says to Rabbi Bar Chama, come on, nihida achrayus di alma. Amakabalale. Granted, Shimon had agreed when he sold the field back to Reuven that he's being Makabala Chrayus, that if they if someone collects the field from Reuven on account of the fact that Shimon owes them money, that he's accepting Achrayus for that. But Achrayus Dinafshe, someone owes Reuven money, that Reuven owes someone money? Mi Kabalale? Was Shimon accepting that kind of Achrayus? That can't be, that Shimon would even accept Achrayus when someone's taking it from Reuven, because Reuven himself owes them money. In fact, the Rishonim are very bothered by what Rami Bar Chama's Havamin is. How can Rami Bar Chama even say such a thing? Meaning it's Pashutli Svara that the Kabbalah Achrayus, that the Mocher is accepting Klape the Kona, doesn't include the things that the Kona himself those who have a taina on the Kona himself. Chaznish raises a question that why, according to Rami Bar Chama, does Shimon have to pay back Reuven? He's not being govim mitzad Shibun Chasim even. Meaning when Reuven owes me money, right? So first thing I do is I go to Reuven and I see if he has any wherewithal to pay me. If he doesn't, then I go to Lekuchos. Over here, when the Balchov is going to Reuven, so does he get to stage two? Is he going to Lekuchos? Or is he just taking straight from Reuven? Meaning, the Achrayus that Shimon sold the field back to Reuven with is that if Lekuchos come, if a Balchov comes and collects from you as Lekuchos, as someone who was a Lokeach, so then you can go back to the original source. But over here, never even got to stage two. Meaning the Balchov of Reuven came and collected because Reuven was in possession of it. He's not coming because this was a field that Shimon owed me money about, and therefore, but Shimon doesn't have it anymore, and therefore I'm coming to Reuven. It was straight to Reuven. It doesn't make any sense that he should be able to get reimbursed from Shimon. So it's a very difficult to understand Rami Bar Chama's Svara over here, that Reuven's going to sell his own field to Shimon, Shelo b'Achrayus, buy it back with Achrayus. Reuven owes money to somebody else. When that person takes that field, that he's now going to demand reimbursement from Shimon, very, very difficult to understand. And that's why Rava disagrees, but still difficult to understand Rami Bar Chama. Umoda Rava, but there is one case where even Rava will be moda to Rami Bar Chama, and that is Reuven sheyarash sodom Yaakov. If Reuven inherits a field from his father Yaakov, umachra l'shimon shelo b'achrayus, and he sells that field to Shimon without achrayus. So Reuven is yoresh. He then sells the field that he yarshin from his father without accepting any achrayus. Vasa Shimon umachra l'Reuven b'achrayus, and Shimon, who bought the field, sells it back to Reuven with achrayus. Again, it could even just be stam, and there's an assumption of achrayus. Vasa balchov di Yaakov, and now the father's balchov comes to collect the katarif leminei, and he takes it from Reuven. So then even Rava agrees, Dinahu da'azil Shimon umafti lemine. By the way, in this example, Reuven and Shimon are not brothers, right? Meaning that's we're just using them as the standard Talmudic names, even though we're choosing Yaakov as the father, right? So Yaakov is the father of Reuven. He has no relation to Shimon in this case. So Reuven yarshined from his father Yaakov. He then sold the field to Shimon, shelo b'achrayus. Shimon sold it back to Reuven with achrayus, and then not Reuven's own balchov, Yaakov's balchov came to collect it from Reuven. So now Reuven can say, look, you owe me the money because you sold me this field with achrayus, and some third party came and took it from me. So my time, why does Shimon have to pay back Reuven and return the demei amekach to Reuven? Because balchov de Yaakov, kebalchov de almadami. A balchov of Yaakov, who's coming to take the field from Reuven, is considered like a balchov that comes from the outside. It's not considered Reuven's balchov. And since Shimon was mekabel achrayus nechasim, that if there's any iror that doesn't come on account of you, Reuven, yourself, I'll pay you back. So Shimon has to pay him back. And the chiddush is that I don't say that Reuven is b'makom aviv, that like brakar da'avua, or that he's omid b'makom aviv, and that the balchov of his father is like his own balchov. That we don't assume that way. We assume the balchov of his father is considered to be a separate person, not like his own balchov. That's how Rashi says the chiddush. In Talmidei Ri, they add that the chiddush is that even though there's a mitzvah Yisal Yisomim Lefro Chov Aviyam, that Yisomim have a mitzvah to pay back the Chov of their father, we still don't treat the Balchov of Yaakov like the Balchov of Reuven. I might have thought that it is Reuven's Balchov, because Reuven has a responsibility, an obligation, whoops, we lost the Zoom, that Reuven has a responsibility and an obligation to pay it back. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Reuven, okay, so that's the Machlokas Rami Bar Chama and Rava. So now Rami Bar Chama tells us another case. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Reuven Shemachar Sadu L'Shimon V'Achrayus, if Reuven sells the field to Shimon with Achrayus, that if they're going to come take the field away from him because of a shibud that precedes this mechira, that Reuven will reimburse Shimon the Dmei HaMekach. So again, Reuven sold the field to Shimon, and there is Achrayus, and now Shimon, who had bought the field, has not yet paid for it, v'zakef alav b'milva, and he says, you know what, instead of paying you for it, we'll write an IOU, so he writes a note that he owes him the money of the purchase price of the field. So yeah, if you can get it on, for some reason it's not going. So he writes him an IOU for the purchase price. This is called Zakav Alav B'milva. Sorry, everybody. Zakav Alav B'milva means that you turn it into a loan. This was relevant just recently with Shemitah, with Prosbul, right? Because the halacha is that if, let's say, I provide a service for somebody before Rosh Hashanah this year, and then and they haven't paid me yet for my service, and then after Rosh Hashanah, they come to pay me. So do I have to say Meshamet Anibach? No, the Shemitah, I didn't write a Prosbul, let's say. Do I have to say that the Shemitah, and therefore the debt is cancelled? So it's only by a loan that the debt is cancelled. It's not every debt that's going to be cancelled. But if it's Zakav Alav B'milva, if that the owing the money was turned into a milva, was turned into a loan, then the debt is cancelled. So it's complicated. How exactly do you calculate when something is Zakav Alav B'milva, right? How do you so the Rama writes that if you just keep a record, if the person's own money writes, you know, that this person owes me money, so that alone is Zakav Alav B'milva. If you send a bill for sure, that's called Zakav Alav B'milva. But if it was just if everything was balpeh, nothing. I had this last night. I came home after Yom Kippur and I saw a check in the mail from a shul that I spoke at 3 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. I assumed I just wasn't getting paid. Like, I didn't ask for money, so I assumed that they weren't. I thought it was curious that they announced sponsors and there was no food or anything. I'm like, what are they sponsoring exactly? But the check came in the mail last night, so I was wondering, do I have to say Meshavet Anibach? But I never wrote a bill. I never asked them for money. I never saw pashtus is that stam matana. So I already deposited. But again, in our case, you have Reuven sells a field to Shimon with Achrayus, and then Zakav Lav Milda, and then there was Zakav. He writes a shtarchov for that money, and now Reuven dies. Umeis Reuven, the mocher dies. Va'asa balchov du Reuven, so Reuven's balchov comes that he owed money to the katarif lami Shimon, and he takes the field away from Shimon. Now, mind you, this is a field Shimon has yet to pay for. He owes money to the deceased person for this field, but now the field gets taken away from him, not by the deceased person's children, but by some other balchov that Reuven had. Upaise bezuze, but Shimon doesn't want to give up the field, so instead he takes all the money that he had set aside to pay for the field, and he pays off the balei chov. So he says, here, take the money instead. So because he hadn't yet paid for it. And now the Shimon doesn't want to pay the Yisomim for the actual field, because he said, I just paid for the field by paying off your Balei Chov, by paying off your father's Balei Chov. So Dinahu da'armi le'bnei Reuven, Reuven's Yisomim can come and say to Shimon, you have to give us the value of the field that our father left with you as a halva'ah, and you wrote a shtar chov on, and you can't pater yourself with the taina that you already paid for it by paying off the Balei Chov, because anan mitaltli Shavak Avun Gabach. Our father left metaltalim with you, meaning you didn't owe our father karka, you owed our father money. Money is metaltalim. And if that Baal Chov would have come to collect his chov, we would not have had what to pay him with, because our father only left us metaltalim. Metaltalim diasmin the Baal Chov lo mishtabdi, and metaltalim of Yisomim are not meshuba to a Baal Chov. So now you took metaltalim that belonged to us, and you paid a Baal Chov. We would not have had to give him metaltalim. mitaltalin that belong to us. So you didn't do us any good. You didn't give us any benefit by paying off that balchov, and therefore you still owe us the money for the karka. So that's the that's Rami Bar Chama's statement that they're allowed to have such a taina. So Amar Rava now over here, up until now, every time Rami Bar Chama said another chiddush in this parsha, the Rava has disagreed. So Rava over here doesn't disagree. He just comes up with a kinech. He comes up with a way that you can get out of it. So Amar Rava, ipikeach idach, that if Shimon, who purchased that field and then turned it into a milva, if he's smart about it, when the Yisomim claim the Dmei Karka, Magvilu Nalayu Ara, Shimon should give the Yisomim Karka for the chov that he was chayiv to the father, for the money that he owed the father, and once they have Karka, Vahadu Gavila Minayu, he could then go and collect that Karka from them for the Chiyuv Achrayus that Reuven accepted at the time of the sale. Meaning when Reuven sold the field to Shimon, he sold the field to Shimon Be'achrayus. That's how every sale always worked, unless you explicitly said otherwise. So there was Achrayus. Reuven has to pay back Shimon if the field ever gets taken away from him. So what Shimon could do is he can pay back the loan using Karka, and then say, oh, I lost my karka. Balchov came and took the karka. Who's the Balchov? Reuven's own Yarshim or the Balechov. But the Balechov came and took away the karka. So now Shimon could go and take the karka back from the Balechov. And even though you can't, generally speaking, the halacha is, you're only allowed to be kova karka from Yisomim if it's actual karka that the father was morish to them, and this karka was not in the original Yerusha at the time that their father died. Their father was not in possession of this karka. Shimon was in possession of this karka, but nevertheless they're allowed to do it. Shimon is allowed to collect from that karka. Kirav Nachman, aligned with the sheet of Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman, Amra Baravua, Yisomim Shagavu Karka B'chovas Avien, that if Yisomim collect karka as a chov that was owed to their father, other balichov, that karka is within the realm of what other balichov are allowed to take. The other balichov are allowed to take that that karka. So over here, the other balichov is Shimon. That Shimon is had purchased the field b'achrayus, so he's allowed to take that karka. In Maseches Pesachim and Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says that the din of Rav Nachman could be explained in two ways. This idea that if Yisomim collect karka as payment for a chov that was owed to their father, that other bali chov could take it from the Yisomim, it could be explained in two ways. According to the Man D'Yomar, that bali chov is mikan ulahabahu goveh, that a bali chov is collecting henceforth, so whatever he collects from the Yisomim is based on Shibud Rabbi Nassan. Shibud Rabbi Nassan is A owes B and B owes C, so A could just go, so C could collect straight from A, he doesn't have to go through B. And according to the Man D'Yomar, that bali chov is mikan ulmafreyahu goveh, so it's like he collected the chov while the father was still alive, and as if they yarshined the karka directly from the father. So however you explain it, that's the way it's going to work. So again, the case was that Shimon bought a field from Reuven. He never paid for it from Reuven. He just wrote an IOU to Reuven, and then other bali chov of Reuven wanted to take the field from Shimon. Shimon instead paid money to those other bali chov, and now Shimon says, I don't owe the Yisomim anything. I get to keep the field. And the Yisomim are saying, yes, you do owe us money, because we wouldn't have paid off the other Balchov. We would never have given him a taltalim. So the halacha, both Rami Bar Chama and Rava agree, is that the Yisomim are correct. But there's a way for Shimon to game the system a little bit and to make sure that he gets paid, and that is by paying back the Yisomim with karka and then collecting the karka from the Yisomim. Now we had, but one detail that we added into that case was that it wasn't just that Shimon hadn't paid for the field when he bought it from Reuven; it was that he was zakavlav b'milva, that he turned it into an IOU. He actually turned it into a formal chov. So Tosos in Dibra Maskel Reuven explains that it's dafka zakavlav b'milva that we say that the bnei Reuven can go back to Shimon, because if it was not zakavlav b'milva, since Reuven sold the Achrayus, we would say that Shimon is holding the Demei HaKarka as a mashkon for the Chiyuv Achrayus that Reuven was chayiv to him. And therefore, it would not be considered the Yisomim would not have won the case. It's only because it was Zakov Lav B'Milva that the Yisomim are gonna win the case. Other Rishonim say, Tosos also writes, and the Ran also says that if it's not Zakov Lav B'Milva, the Mecher of the Karka is not Chal yet. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that the Mecher of the Karka is only going to be Chal when you either pay or at least acknowledge that there is payment to be made. So by Zakov Lav B'Milva, there is a direct acknowledgement that it's Ki'ilu, I paid you, and then I reborrowed the money. So therefore, the karka, because karka is nikna b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka, so that's the kinyan kesef, is that that it's already been paid. Normally, you don't have to pay the full value in order for a kinyan kesef to be chal. You just need to give a token amount of kesef, and then you could do the rest as a milva. But it's got to be that there's acknowledgement of the price of the karka. The other question that Tosos is bothered by is why set up the case where when they came to collect from Shimon, he gave them money. Why not set up the case where he gave them the actual karka to pay off the loan and still have the din Torah between the Yisomim who say, yeah, but you still owe us the value of the karka. So Tosus writes, the fact that it says paisi bezuzei and not that he gave the karka itself is because it's telling us that even if he gave money, I don't say that that money that he paid to the malva is the Dmei Hasada that he owed to the father. The Ran says that if he would have given karka, the Bnei Ruvain wouldn't be able to go to Shimon, because that karka was Meshubatu Balchov of Ruvain because of Shibudu Drabinasan. That Shimon could say to the Bnei Ruvain, if I would have been Magva karka, then Balchov of your father would have been Gova if you would have collected the karka from me, then the Balchov of your father would have collected the karka from you, and therefore I don't know you anything. So Dafka has to be that it's a case of Zakov Lav B'Milva, and Dafka has to be a case that Shimon had paid money to the people who were trying to collect the karka from him. Good, now a new discussion. Amar Rabba, so again, now we're going to discuss collecting karka from a secondary lokeach. So Amar Rabba, Ruvain Shemachar Kol Sados of the Shimon. Ruvain sells in one shtar all of his fields to Shimon. And let's assume that among his fields, there was Idis, there was Beninis, there was Ziburis, there were all kinds of fields that he had in his possession that he sold to Shimon. V'chazer Shimon u'machar sada achas l'levi. Shimon then turned around and sold one of those fields, let's assume Beninis, a regular Beninis field to Levi. So now Shimon doesn't have any Beninis. Shimon had purchased from Reuven three types, but now he sold the middle type and he only has the Idis and Ziburis. V'as balchov de Reuven, and a person that Reuven owed money to came to collect from the Beninis, because Balchov is Gova min HaBeninis, so Ratza Mizeh Gova. If the Balchov is interested in collecting from Shimon, even though Shimon doesn't have any Beninis left, he could collect Idis from Shimon, because Shimon is because the Balchov can say to Shimon, you purchased all of Reuven's fields, and therefore you, since you bought all of Reuven's property, as far as I'm concerned, you're Reuven, meaning you have taken over the financial place of Reuven. And just like I could have collected from Reuven, if Reuven had sold some of his fields and kept others, I'd be able to take what Reuven has without running to Lekuchos, so I can go to you without running to Lekuchos. So Kol Zman, that you still have some fields, I don't have to go to Levi to collect. Or Ratza Mizegov, if he's more interested in going to Levi, he could collect from Levi, because the Balchov could say to Levi, you purchased that karka that I had a shibud on, because the halacha is that I'm supposed to collect from Beninis, and you bought the karka that's Beninis. But what about the fact that Shimon still has Ziburis, and you don't collect from Nechasim Shubadim, but Makom that they're Nechasim B'nei Chorin available to you. So the previous person still has Nechasim. No, Shimon is not the person that owed him the money. Reuven is the person that owed him the money. Shimon is also a Lokeach. So you could say, I'm already collect. There is no Nechasim B'nei Chorin. If there are Nechasim B'nei Chorin, that would mean that Reuven still has Karka. Reuven has nothing. Shimon bought all the Karka. So anyway, I'm collecting from the Chasam Shabbatim. So since anyway I'm collecting from the Chasam Shabbatim, I'm going to collect from Levi and not from Shimon. So it's his option to collect whichever one he wants. So now the Gemara explains the idea that he could collect from whoever he wants is somewhat limited. V'la Amaran Ella Dezavna Beninis. That's only true if what Shimon sold to Levi is Beninis. But let's say Shimon Levi bought from Shimon Idis and Ziburis, and Shimon still has the Beninis, Then Matzi Amarle, then Levi could say to the Balchov, you can't collect my Idis or Ziburis, the karka that I bought from Shimon. Why do you think I bought only Idis and Ziburis and I left him with the Beinonis? Lachi Tarchi Zvini Arad Lachazilach. I dafka knew that there must have been Balichov over here. And that's why, meaning, why did Reuven liquidate everything? Right? He sold all of his karka. There must have been Balichov over here. I realized that. So when I bought from Shimon, I was careful not to buy Beinonis because I didn't want to have to give up what I'm buying to a Balchov. And the Beinonis is what's really Meshuba to a Balchov. So good, so you collect from Shimon, you don't come to me. Beinonis Nami, and even that which we said that the Balchov could collect Beinonis from Levi, is Lo Amar El De Lo Shavak Beinonis to Kabasa. That's only true if Shimon didn't keep any Beinonis, if Shimon didn't have any other Beinonis fields. Meaning, let's say Shimon bought a dozen fields, and four of them were Idis, four of them were Ziburis, and four of them were Beinonis. And he sold one or two of the Beinonis ones to Levi, but he's still holding on to some of the Beinonis fields. So then the Balchov has to collect from Shimon. He can't collect from Levi. Avol Shavak Beinonis to Kavasa. If he left Shimon with Karka Beinonis, the Balchov is not able to collect that for the Karka from Levi, even though he normally collects from Beinonis. And the Balchov says that this, what do you mean? This Karka is Beinonis. It's Meshuba to me. But Matzi Amar Levi could tell Reuven's Balchov, he nachti lach makam ligvasimenu. I dafka didn't buy all the Beinonis. I left you something to collect from. And what I left you to collect from is what you're allowed to collect from, which is Beinonis. So I could determine that I have the zchus to be kovea, which karka Beinonis you're going to take as your shibut. The way we're understanding is that the svar of hinach lach makom ligvos himenu is not a taina that's dafka when there are karkos still by the love. It's because you could say, what did the first guy sell to the second guy? Any zuchus shetav liyado, meaning the klal is that everybody that sells karka to another person is selling the karka with whatever rights you would have in that karka, whatever tainas you would have in that karka. So just like if there were two karkaos that were beinonis that Shimon had, and the malv was to come and collect from him, Shimon would be able to say, no, don't take this beinonis, you have to take that beinonis. So when Shimon sold me one of his beinonis fields, one of those beinonis fields, I have the right to say, no, don't take this Beinonis, take that Beinonis. So go and take the Beinonis that belongs to Shimon. That's how the Rishonim explained it. So Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sad L'Shimon B'Achrayis. If Reuven sells a field to Shimon with Achrayis, that if anyone comes and takes this field from you, Shimon, don't worry, I'm going to pay you back. Vasa Balchov de Reuven, and Reuven owed somebody money and before he had sold the karka, and this karka was there for Meshuba to pay him, the Katar of Laminei, and that Balchov went and took the karka from Shimon, so because Reuven didn't have anything, now Reuven wants to tie it to the Balchov that you didn't do right by collecting this karka. I already paid that chov. So Reuven sold the field to Shimon Ba'achrayus. So he says, if this ever gets taken away from you, Shimon, I'll pay you back. But the guy who's trying to take it away from Shimon, Reuven Tainas, he doesn't owe him money anymore. Reuven says, what are you talking? That guy has no right to collect this field from Shimon. Hey, you better tell you, he's Tovea. You should take a Shavua that I didn't pay you back. So the Balchov says, what do you mean? Why should I take a Shavua to you? I'm not even collecting from you. I'm collecting from Shimon. What's it your business? So Dina Uda'azul Reuven Amavtzilei V'lomatzi Amrlei La Baldvarm Didiat. Reuven can tell this Balchov, you have to come and take a Shavua. And the Balchov can't say to Reuven, I'm not even collecting from you. You're not my baldvarim. You're not my person that I have any dealings with. Misham Darmalei, because Reuven could say to the Balchov, of course this is nogea to me. Demafkes mine, alai hadar. Because if you take it away from Shimon, I sold it with a chrayus. What do you think the next step is? Shimon's going to come right back to me and I'm going to have to pay him back. So yes, I am very much a litigant in this case. So I'm allowed to demand that you take a shavua. Difficult to understand what the havamina otherwise is. Right? Rabbi Kiva Eger raises a question that it's a davar pashut that Reuven is considered a bal devarim of the Balchov. The nechasim of the lekeach from a shubah only midin arev, meaning the only reason he's collecting from Shimon is that Shimon is like an arev, he's a cosigner. But the ikar Balchov is Reuven, of course. The ikar bal devar is Reuven. Of course, Reuven can make him swear. The ikadamri, others have the case a little bit differently with a little bit more of a chiddush that afilu shelo b'achrayis nami. Ooh, that even if Reuven had sold the field to Shimon and said, look, if it ever gets taken away from you, not my problem. I'm not going to pay it back. Right? There's no achrayus nechasim, Even then, Reuven could tell the Baal Chov who's trying to collect it from Shimon, hey, wait a second, I paid you back. I want you to swear that I didn't pay you back before you go collect it. And the Baal Chov might turn to Reuven and say, what do you care? I'm going to take it from Shimon. It's not going to cost you a penny. You sold it Shalom Achrayas. Still, he said, how do you think Shimon is going to feel about me if I sold him the field and then it gets taken away from him and he doesn't get reimbursed? He's going to have tainas on me. I don't want to ruin my reputation. Reuven could demand that the Baal Chov takes a shvuah. Amar Abaye, Reuven shemachar sod to Shimon shelo b'achrayus. If Reuven sold the field to Shimon without achrayus, v'yatzu alav asikin, and people came to make a taina on the field to say that it never belonged to Reuven and the karka belonged to us, meaning Reuven sold you the Brooklyn Bridge essentially. So these people come and say, and we are the true owners of the Brooklyn Bridge. So it never belonged to Reuven. So ad shelo hichzik yachalachzer bo. Up until Shimon made a chazaka, a kinyan in the karka, Shimon could back out of the mekach because he doesn't want to get involved in this fight, right? Meaning he's not interested in this. Mishehichzikba, but once Shimon has already made a chazaka on the karka, then einu yachal achzer bo. Then he's not allowed to back out of the mekach and say that it was a mekach ta'us, that he never intended to buy a karka, that there was some dispute over who the rightful owner of this karka was. Mishum to amalei, because Reuven could say to Shimon, chayis dekitri savarta v'kabalta, like if a person sells a bag of nuts, that it looks like it's a bag that's full of valuables, but the kona didn't open up the bag to see what was inside of it. Right, what is it? Let's make a deal, right? He says, whatever's in this box is what you're buying, and he never thought to open the box and look what he's buying. He just buys a storage unit or something. So he can't come and be mevatel the mekach just because there's nothing in the bag because he didn't check before the mechira. So he was mekabel whatever matzav there is with the Brooklyn Bridge. So too, when you buy the field without a chrayis, you're mekabeling yourself that if orurim come to the field, that you're going to lose your money. That's why you got. Why do you think you got such a good deal on the karka? Because it was without a chrayis, and you don't know. There could be balichov, or there could be people that have tainas on the karka over here. It's not balichov. It's just people that say that he never even owned the karka. So the key point is when he made a kinyan. That if it was before he made a kinyan, he could still back out. But once he made a kinyan, it's too late. That's what he was mekabel on himself. So me'emas machzikba, when do we consider it to be a kinyan? What do we consider it to be a kinyan on the karka? So mechidayish ha-mitzri, from the time that he fixes the borders of the field. That's what Dayish HaMitzri means, that he's misakin the gvulos of the sada, and he elevates them to mark them off more clearly. That's how Rashi understands Dayish HaMitzri. Tosas raises the question, what do you mean, what kind of question is this? When is the chazaka? It's a Mishnah Mufresh, it's a Masechus Basra, that no, Godur Par, it's Kolshu, HaRezu Chazaka. It's a strange question to come up on Sadi Gimel Amar Aleph in Masechus Ksubos, of like, how does Kinyan on Karka work? There are Mishnahis about how Kinyan on Karka works. So they Tosfos also asked, why does the Gemara say Chazaka more than Kesef and Shtar? Meaning the point is that there's a Kinyan. Why are we emphasizing only one type of Kinyan? So Tosfos, the Mi'il Shmuel answers based on the Shittu Gumbet says, that according to Rashi, the Gemara is being Mechadesh, that which he could be Chozer before he's Hichzik, is that it's not considered Mechusre Amana. And that's a even in the Sefer, that when he's machzikba, he's not able to be machzik, even though he was only Dayish HaMitzri. Dayish HaMitzri is not really a Kinyan Chazaka. We're saying that even though all he did was he was Dayish HaMitzri, that already makes him Mechusra Amana to back out on the sale. Even though it's not a real Kinyan, it's just Dayish HaMitzri. So the way, whereas Rashi understands that the whole discussion over here is about a Kinyan, Tosfos says, no, it's not about a Kinyan, it's about the fact that he did something to show that this Karka is going to change hands. Ikita Amri, I feel about Christ Nami. Some say that even in a situation where Reuven sold the field to Shimon with Achrayus, he can't be Chozer because of Orurim after he made the Chazaka. And there's no possibility for Shimon to be Machzik, the money in his Rishus, the money of the Mekach, until the matter is clarified whether he's going to get to keep the Karka, meaning Shimon is going to have to pay for it, even though there's still some claim on this his karka, and he doesn't know that he's going to be able to keep it. Because Reuben could say to Shimon, right now that they're Orin and the karka is in your possession, you still have to pay the demea karka. And if they take the karka from you, then achvi tirfach, show me the shtara tirfa that says that Bezin writes for you, that says that the karka was confiscated from you. And at that point, I'll pay you. But until that point comes, I'm not going to pay you. I'll reimburse you because there is achrayus when it gets taken away from you. But until that point, you owe me the money for the purchase price of this field. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Tzadi Gimel, Amud Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful day.